Okay, we will now do the chanting for the invocation of devas. Then after that, we will chant the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Turn to page 6. I will chant the first part, then after that, we chant together. Invocation to the devas. Samantha chakavalesu atra kanchantu devata sadamang munin rajasa sunanto saka mongkalang damana savanankalo vayang bandata dhamma savanankalo ayang bandata Dhamma savanan kalo ayam bandata Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Ittipiso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavate Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanayiko Pachatang veditago vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Triple Gem, Then after that we will stop. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay. So tonight less people, so we'll make it a informal one, better discussion. So we don't have to be so formal. So tonight, any topic you all want to discuss, any suggestion? Or you, anybody want to report their meditation? Anybody? Or ask any question. Can? Yeah. Yes. Pass the mic. Yeah. It's on already. Oh, push it up, push it up. Okay.
It's getting a little bit more often.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, I have not been very well with the flu. I mean, I'm well already. I'm not passing to anybody. It's just that my throat doesn't give me such good... a bit of suffering here and there. Anyway, so what I will do is I'll just sit quietly, and it's meditation, because it will relieve this whole place.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be doing things quietly. I'm not really sitting down. I'm just sort of listening to something. And the mind just goes blank.
Yeah.
It keeps happening, you know.
Yeah, very good.
But then it happened this way. I wonder what is going on.
It's okay, because the moment you want to arise a thought to understand it, then the question from the thought always try to deceive you, understand? Because the mind couldn't understand, because this is something that is beyond the mind. So if it has this, what they call, tendency to just, when you say blank off, there is still awareness, isn't it? Ah, yes, very good, very good. Some people blank off, they totally switch off. So that one is not the meditative state. But when you say blank off, means without thought, without anything, it's just silent, then there is this awareness within. That is a very beautiful state.
And then when that happens, you know, the throat is
clear.
It is just completely, I don't feel anything anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
because
no
that
more.
Is in the state of equanimity. Understand? When there is no thought, the mind is different, very peaceful. Understand? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, nothing. It's only when thought arises, then this thought is conditioned to think. Understand? That's why it responds to memory. Respond to all the accumulated memory, understand? Your good and your bad, all of your past accumulation. So this memory is the one that actually trigger off the thought. That's why thought is respond to all this memory. But what are the one that is active? The active one are the one that you hold on to, you cling on to, that you have fear, you have anxiety, that you have actually unknowingly to your delusion give meaning to, understand? Then whatever that the mind give meaning to, that project, that fear, the worry, the anxiety, or you give importance, then wherever there is condition, it will trigger off thinking, understand? That's why thought is respond to all this memory. The memory that we accumulate through our attachment. And most of the time is through heedlessness, delusion. So when you train your mind, you develop your spiritual faculty, you actually reverse all this. That's why the spiritual faculty bring about heedfulness. Heedful means every moment of sense experience, there is this awareness. Awareness that understands what is going on. Initially, when your Dhamma is still not stable as yet, then this awareness is also not strong, and you can't actually do much to your heedlessness. But as your Dhamma progresses, means as you develop the first turning and second turning wisdom, especially the contemplative wisdom, born of the three turnings or the four noble truths, in particular the second turning, which is the five daily contemplation and the related second turning of the Four Noble Truths. The moment you develop this, then you start to listen to Dhamma more often. Then you spend more time on Dhamma activity and cultivation to develop the Sadha, Virya, Sati, then stabilize it until it becomes Samadhi. Then when your spiritual faculty become very stable, then understanding keep on arising. So when this understanding arises, this is what the Buddha called panya or wisdom. When you have wisdom or panya, then every time you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile, feel something, or think of something, there is this heedfulness within. There is this awareness with the Dhamma understanding. Understand? Then you are no longer like before, heedless, deluded. You don't like before, stir, understand? React. That's why last time you got a lot of like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant. Then your conditioning keep on actually making you heedless. And a small thing also you want to command, you want to judge, you want to react and do all those things. So that's why the mind become habitual in reacting. That's why you always have this pleasant and unpleasant, what they call experiences, when you encounter a sense perception. Then your like and dislike for certain things, people, or whatever you hear, you see, you smell, you taste, you tactile, feel, or think. So all this will actually transform you. Because through understanding, through wisdom, you not only does not stir, does not react, you come to accept them more and more with understanding. Then as you accept them, you actually don't hold on to them, you don't cling on to them, you don't like give meaning or worry about them, understand? Like your case, you have a flu, so what? Earlier on when you have a flu, you become miserable, understand? You worry a lot. Yeah? You run around complaining, miserable and all those things, then look for a doctor, take the antibiotic, sometimes it doesn't work, make you sleepy, then you complain and all things. But now, because you have reflected on the nature of this body, the body is of the nature to grow old, to get sick, and to one day die, for it has not gone beyond all this. It will go the way of nature. So these are realities of life and existence. Everybody that is born with a physical body will experience the same decay process. They will also go through disease and death. So when you start to develop this type of wisdom, you come to terms with the realities of this form. You are not deluded by it. You don't hold on to it, grasp on it, cling on to it. You don't worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Then you have peace. Understand? So when you have peace, like you said, you know that you have recovered. Yeah? And as long as it does not spread to others, you are okay. Understand? Then when you are at home, you are able to just relax, understand? And allow it to settle down. Where the moment thought does not arise to actually command and do all those verbalization and making the mind reactive, you become peaceful, understand? Then you start to see the difference in your mind. Then it tend to like lapse into this you call blank. Actually, it's not blank. It's like moment of without thought, which is very good. There is a sign of great improvement in your daily life. That is where you can see your daily mindfulness start falling into place. Because without this understanding and heedfulness, the mind cannot transform like that. That's why over the training period, it has actually happened without you knowing it. That you maintain faith, then determine to cultivate this heedfulness more and more, more and more. Then continue to reflect and contemplate into all the Dhammas. Then your mind become beautiful. Your mind become most of the time heedful, just aware, silent, without thought. And it's very, very different. There is no agitation. Most of the time there is peace. There is joy, there is happiness. Then this type of mind has clarity. It can attend to things very easily. There is nothing in this world that can disturb that type of mind. No matter how urgent a situation can be a matter, but there is alertness. There is attentiveness. There is this silence within that understands what is going on. Then it will actually attend to situation moment by moment. It will accord and flow with condition. Then it will do what it has to do. Okay? It understands the unreality of form and mind. the characteristics of all phenomenal condition arising world, their impermanence. The moment you grasp clinging and give meaning, it trigger off suffering. Then how thought divide, thought project, create all the fear, worry, anxiety, the division. So all of the limitation of thought, the power of thought to divide and cause all this delusion, you start to understand them and see them. Then thought has got no power over this mind that has the wisdom. Then you start to become more and more heedful, more and more aware. And that wisdom allow you to live life differently. This one is what I call heedful living. No more the heedless way of living. No more like throughout the day, worry about this, worry about that, panic about this, panic about that. Then a lot of anxiety. Wow, what happened if this one don't come through? What happened if they come to know? So what will happen if I cannot make it? And all those things. So that thought keep on projecting and ask all these questions which are not a reality. Just like our Sabha Asavak Sutta, we did the talk in Klang. Things that are unfit for attention, you already know. You are not going to waste time on it, Anasana. Frivolous thing. Think about the future and the past, which are not a reality, that can allow your thought to project into the future and recall the unhappy past and bring for all the conditions for negativity to stir. That's why when you attend to things that are unfit for attention, your defilement, the asava, the unarisen arise. Then the arisen proliferate, become more severe. And then through your awareness, you will know these are not the things that are fit for attention. So I shouldn't pay attention to it. And you recall to mind what the Buddha said. What are the things that is fit for attention? The Buddha said the Four Noble Truths is tree turning, the handful of leaf, the five daily contemplation. These are the things that are fit for attention and brings about wisdom, liberation of mind, freedom from suffering and all those things. But then you realize this is how the enlightened being and the noble one live their life. This is how they cultivate and develop the understanding, then they transform. Then you will come to understand that this is what you have to do. That's why your cultivation become very different, very straightforward. You're no more like before already. Oh, attached to method, technique, teacher, run here, run there, try to find out this, find out that, and read this, read that, argue with people, no, this one not vipassana. But you never do what you're supposed to do. To be heedful, to be aware. To do that, you must develop the spiritual faculties. That's why the Buddha, before he died, his parinibbana, he just say one thing, strive on with heedfulness, nothing else. And he always say, to be heedful is very important. Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And that is the most dangerous mind state to be in. To be heedless is the most dangerous. You are as if dead means spiritually you are dead. No more spiritual life, no more window for you to actually cultivate and liberate your mind. So without heedfulness, there is no meditation, no cultivation. So to be heedful is to be mindful, ever mindful, to cultivate the wisdom, the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha has taught, or the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, all of his essential Dhamma and teachings are there. Starting with right view is spin off everything. Right view alone is such a wide topic. Law of karma itself spin off so much of this essential Dhamma, even the advice of the Buddha, everything. Then Citta Niyama, it talks about the dependent origination of this mind state, how your mind functions. in daily life as a human being, as a living being. Then you have Dhamma Niyama, which is the essential Dhamma, and the essence of the teaching is Four Noble Truths. That's why the third right view of Dhamma Niyama is always the Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths, you need to develop the understanding of it through the three turnings. Even the Buddha himself at that time did it. So all this summarized to us what we need to understand. And the Buddha's teaching actually revolve around this few essential Dhamma only, nothing else. That's why you see all my sharing, even Thursday class, Sunday, Wuping Jinsu, and Tuesday class. I always talk about these few essential Dhamma. The most common one are the five spiritual faculty and the five hindrances. Because without the spiritual faculty, you can't start. These are spiritual faculties that can develop the understanding of spiritual teaching as taught by the Buddha. So you don't even have the spiritual faculty, your mind states are very weak. So the opposite five, the hindrance, take over. That's why human beings become heedless. And this part of the teaching, I can tell you, a lot of Buddhists don't understand, even until now. So-called meditator, cultivator, they can never explain to you why is your mind not peaceful. They just tell you, meditate, vipassana. Or do this, do that, method, technique, all those things. But the moment you understand that because you lack the spiritual faculty, that's why you cannot be peaceful. The hindrance take over. They hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner silence. And because of that, you come to understand that this is a very dangerous situation, because without this spiritual faculty, you are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. So all of meditation start with spiritual faculty, understand? No? That's why the Buddha introduced what? Pre-puja, post-puja. They are all to introduce the spiritual faculty. That's why you got all the anusati, understand? Buddha anusati, Dhamma anusati, Sangha anusati. That's why we chant the salutation to the triple gem just now. Then we pay respect to the worthy ones, all of the Buddhas and great bodhisattvas. Then we take refuge to establish affinity with triple gem. So all these are causes and conditions that you need to walk the path of Dhamma. Then as you perform all this puja, you cultivate a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of meritorious action, because you not only renew your precept, you pay respect, reverential salutation. Then you listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view. Then you meditate. Then you radiate love and metta and all those things. That's why you develop all the wholesomeness of mind, the temerator section. Then you rejoice, you share merit, you transfer merit. Then you straighten your view. Then you provide service to help other beings. Then the Buddha teach you how to invoke the power of these merits, even the offering, everything, is it? Reflect on the Dhamma that invoke the power of these merits for causes and conditions for you to avoid all the foolish, the heedless. Meet out with the wise and enlightened ones so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized soon as well. So all this paved the way for you to actually progress along the path of Dhamma very easily. And these are the things you should do. When you do all this, actually you are cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, right? That's why you need to have a religious routine. You don't wait until you attend Dhamma class or go temple only you do all this. No. At home, you should do. Because this will train you to develop heedful living. Understand? This is the point that you all must understand. This is not like forcing you to do extra things. This religious routine is not something like you impose on yourself, understand? You do it is because you understand that it's going to make a great difference to your life. It's going to train you to develop the heedful way of living, understand? so that you have all the good positive condition to walk the path of Dhamma. Well, these are very wholesome moments when you do your puja and your religious routine, when you develop the training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware through your paying of respect, chanting, salutation, taking refuge, renew your precept, meditate, then you radiate love and metta. Then you rejoice. Then all the offering, you understand. Then you invoke the power of merits. Then you attend all the Dhamma class. You go retreat with understanding. Then daily mindfulness. Then you make aspiration, determine. After you have understood this teaching, you determine life after life when you come. Whatever form and mind you take, you aspire for causes and conditions to always have this understanding so that you will continue to walk this path without deviation. So that you can continue to have this wisdom to guide you to have the noble life. The life of the noble ones. So that life is meaningful. So that life has its purpose. So that you can be a blessing to all. So this is very useful. We should thank Chui for the question. Very good. Sadhu. Sadhu. Very good. Okay, apart from this, is there anybody else who wants to report their meditation or share something? Or ask any question? Hui Rong? Yeah, the mic is there. Okay.
我没有其他意思哦。对，没问题。
很好啊。身体，
不一定说哦，那个菩萨也来，我们常常会去强调那个，好像神话一样。可是其实那个是很多修行的人，好几次这样子在那边累积下来的。
对。如果你不了解，就变成好像勉强这样，就好像在印度，四大圣不是圣地啦 ，the four， they call it the， special place， where you should visit， so these are the four places where the Buddha was born. First one is, I think, Lumbini. He was born. Then the second one is when he became enlightened, Buddha Gaya. Then the first sermon, 7 weeks later or what, he went and delivered the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And that one is in Savatthi. Sana, correct, yeah, Sana. The voucher speak, they call it the voucher speak. No, in India. No, India one, the Sakyamuni one, they don't have Kuan Yin one that time. They don't have Kuan Yin one. Shakyamuni, yeah, there is no Kuan Yin one. No, maybe you all do it because there could be a temple there with Kuan Yin. Oh, the one is different. He's talking about these four holy places that he encouraged pilgrimage to visit. The last one is Kushinara, where he passed away. Yeah, he passed away. Anyway, I remember it's the deer park. The first sermon, the deer park. So, these are the four places the Buddha actually mentioned in the scripture, because Ananda asked the Buddha, I think before his parinibbana, he said, is there any significance of all these places that you have actually gone to and preached the Dhamma? So the Buddha recall, he said, these four holy sites, you can bring forth faith, like Sun Yen Fa Shi mentioned. He said, 你说他不认 okay, if it is correct, you know why or not? Because it's very easy to understand, because it depends on one's affinity actually, and how you can feel these places. So if it can bring forth the faith, then it's very good. Because like people who go there with very strong faith in Shakyamuni Buddha, they say this is the place where the Buddha was born. Understand? And according to the scripture, seven lotus manifest and he walks seven steps. Then it can bring forth the great faith for you to develop the spiritual faculty of Sada. Then you will progress along the Bhava Dhamma. Then these places where he was born, you like it or not, the energy is good. Understand not? Especially Kushinara, where he passed away, Parinibbana, where the relics were mainly enshrined at that place. Then Buddhagaya also is very special, where that is the place he got enlightened and he stayed there very long. Then when he delivered the first sermon also, those places, I think there are a lot of devas at that time, and even the heavenly beings. They are all there waiting for the first sermon. And so many became enlightened. The five arahant, the five ascetic became arahant after the Anattalakkhana Sutta. Immediately followed the first sermon of Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So these are the conditions. So according to the scripture, the Buddha did advise, if you have the condition to go to these places and recall to mind, develop the faith, then it's very useful. But like Sun Yen Fa Shi, it's not miancang, it's not compulsory that you have to go. Whereas certain religion, they have to go to certain places once in their lifetime. It's like compulsory, otherwise you miss. So he say it's advisable for those who can develop the faith to go on and so on. But for us who has the understanding, you don't just go because somebody says so or the Buddha says so. For me, is if there is condition, there's affinity, my nature will know, then I will go. But so far, I don't know why. I have never had the condition to go. and never leave food in to India. Very funny. Even Burma also. No, that's why I say it depends. It depends on the individual's affinity, understand? No? Yeah, you will know one. Yeah, the whole place was very crowded. You don't feel good, inside. Yeah, I know. That's why you have to find out what suits you. Don't be just gullible. Correct. That aspect is very good. You want to understand all those things, and you can generate the faith. It's very good. Correct. It's history and culture. You heard something. That's why you need to actually find out for yourself. Everyone is different, is it not? It's just like affinity with different places. Like this line, my nature know. I got a lot of affinity with China. So they also have their way place of the four great bodhisattvas. Kuan Yin, Putosan, which I have been to. Then Chuhuasan, where the Tizang Wang Pusa is. Then you have the Wu Tai San, where Manjushri, Wen Su, Pusa. And recently we went to Pusan, Amisan. These are all four very beautiful way places. And because of the affinity, that's why I can feel their nature. Each and every one of these, when before I go, the condition reset. Like my nature knew, I must go. I must bring Kanyamitas there. And the moment we organized the trip, all the signs came, the causes and conditions all came. They all fall into place. Then when we were there, the weather was so beautiful. Everything was so conducive. Then everything just happened. Just happened. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you don't feel anything. No, you don't. Not only that, you must understand one thing. Erme San and Puto San is the same. Understand that? That's why Kuan Yin, when we do all the Kuan Yin Chan, even at Sumeru, you realize or not, that morning, all the whole place was full of mist. Understand that? Then rain, drizzle, very light one. It's actually blessing. No, these are the condition and environment where the devas and the higher beings, the cultivator, they like to have. Understand? That's why when we went to Anandagiri, I asked you one simple question. We were there 4 days, I think, 3 nights. First night we arrived, the weather was so good. So quiet, so peaceful, no wind at all. The voice just speak. So we meditate, then we do the rehearsal. Then so many things happen. Then the next day, supposed to be the quiet one, when we leave the hotel, still everything was normal. Then as the bus move, the van move, very funny, you know, just before we arrive, you start to see the mist forming, then the rain. Then the whole of the mountain was covered with that mist, no? Exactly like Sumeru that day. Then the whole of the consecration hall, that just like Sumeru, the Kuan Yin Pond there, remember? We chant and all those things. And when we go around the stupa, also same. Cooling, very cooling and misty. Well, these are the condition that they actually wanted. That's why it's always that time I went to Puto San also same. It was drizzling. Before we arrived, 6 days, 6 nights in Ningpo, rain like anything, cat and dog. Until that Tao Yu told us, you better bring raincoat, is it? There is no way. Is it? Then the whole place there rain like anything. Then the day we arrived, not only the rain stopped, the weather was so good, then like misty. A little bit of like very light drizzle, very light. Then I remember we went into the Upai Lohan, that place, and the Taoyu said, "Wow, you are very, very lucky." 6 days and 6 nights, completely, the whole place is rain like anything. Is it? Nobody can go anywhere. Is it? Then we arrived the morning. Then she told us, "What? Well, you go Puto San, you will definitely have the rain. You cannot escape. Because there is an island. Is it, the whole place?" We went there again, no rain. It was only this misty and drizzling throughout that period. Then how you explain? So that's why it depends on your understanding, your affinity with the nature of these great beings. When you can have the condition, the affinity, then when you know how to share merit, transfer merit, the Dhamma protectors, they are there to actually protect you and guide you. And a lot of things actually just happen. Even Erme San is the same. You just imagine Chuchai Ko, we went up. The weather was so good, no? Everything you see is four seasons what you see, you know. Snow in the midst of sunny weather. And that snow was the night before, just accumulated. And we're supposed to take that path and all those things. And we actually, you see, although we were caught in that traffic situation because the earth slipped, but it's meant to be. Otherwise, we would have missed. But all those areas were actually lined up for us to see. Then the condition manifest, then they changed to that hotel. That hotel was very good. We stay on that hotel. Very beautiful. Then the breakfast was very good. The breakfast was very good. So everything that is meant to be will be, it will turn out. Then those who can feel their nature, the energy that you draw is fantastic. And all of this spiritual trip that I went, for those who can understand and who can draw and tap those energy, they help you a lot in your cultivation. Then actually a lot of you may not know, but after you come back, then when you rested, that whole thing stabilized, sink inside. Then your nature actually already different, but you will not understand until later when you connect. When you connect, many years later you will come to know. Then you will have the joy. Then you will count your good blessing for having the condition to go to all this spiritual place, what they call way place, and you have the affinity to actually partake in all the wholesomeness that were done. So that's why way place is dependent on our affinity. Each and every one is different. So you don't be gullible, you don't say, oh, they say India very good. Then you want to go. For me, no condition, no go. No, very funny. Then if got condition, places that I don't know, so I go. Very strange. Last time I traveled to Thailand. Actually, Thailand, many of these places, I don't know. Condition arise, somehow we just go. Then we met people, then people take us around. Then we met all the great masters. Very funny. Then later on, Mosit and Cindy took us to even more places. So Thailand, they got a lot of good monks. Good monks. They call them Long Po. Then all the great teachers, we actually got a good condition to meet up with them. Okay, just now was Hui Rong's question. I think we went through already. So now maybe we spend some time on the notes. You all got bring the notes or not? Chui, can. Yes. Yes. Yeah. God. God. Then this about Gosan, Terakuda Sutta. Yeah. This Terakuda Sutta is very nice, very concise. Now we can start. No need to bring, I read to you. Okay, page 189. You know what is a Terakuda Sutta? Terakuda. Terokudda. Terakuda Sutta. Departed ones in spiritual forms. Recitals to transfer merits to departed one. This one come about because during the Buddha's time, Sakyamuni, there was this famous story about King Bimbisara. They got this, what they call King Bimbisara's departed relatives, who were trapped in the hell realm for very, very long. Because that story actually, this one they don't have introduction, but I checked the internet last time, I remember. These relatives of this King Bimbisara at that time, they were actually born during the Buddha's time. Another Buddha before Sakyamuni, Kāsapa Buddha. Kāsapa Buddha. So during Kāsapa Buddha's time, there was a similar occasion. They made offering to Kāsapa Buddha and the disciple of Kāsapa, means to the Sangha. Sangha. So during that time, every time they rejoice, the departed relatives who were around, almost all of them received, except one group. They couldn't understand. Everybody received and transformed like anything. We have Samasambuddha around. Then they didn't receive. So they went and checked with Kāsapa Buddha. Then Kāsapa Buddha checked. Because he is a Samasambuddha, he came to realize that these are the group of people who earlier on, during one much, much earlier times, Samasambuddha, when they were actually in charge of that celebration, means they are put in charge of that celebration to make offering. Because of their greed, you know what they did or not? They go and create through deceit fire, and say the fire has burned a major part of the offering, but actually they didn't burn. They stole all those expensive and very beautiful offering. They stuffed it off, then they put something else and burn it, and because of what they did, the karma was so heavy, they were actually sent down to hell. They take rebirth in the hell. They went down for so long until by the time they come out, this world system changed already. Means like that world system that have how many Buddha one all gone already. No more already. Then another new world system come about. So now they come out, this new world system, where they have been away for so long, they got no departed relative. It happened until they totally cannot even find one related to them. Because they have been down there for so long. Then they ask Kāsapa Buddha, "Wow, that is very bad. When will be the next one where they got affinity?" Then Kāsapa Buddha check. Oh, he said, "God, you got one good friend, King Bimbisara. But he will only arise when the next Buddha arise. Shakyamuni Buddha." How long? Don't know. How many aeons later? So that's why when Shakyamuni Buddha arise, he spoke this sutta. How when King Bimbisara initially offered the offering to Shakyamuni Buddha and the Sangha, he forgot to transfer merit, where he didn't know that he needed to transfer merit. He got so much joy, then he didn't do any transfer merit, anything. And these people had been waiting for so long, for him to transfer. Then you know what happened? That night they go and disturb him. He cannot sleep. Then he came and talked to the Buddha the next day. Sakyamuni. Then Sakyamuni checked. Oh, you got this good friend. They are very unhappy where they waited so long. Then King Bimbisara asked the Buddha, "What must I do?" The Buddha said, "Don't worry, we had another one. He said, we hold one more time. And this time you remember to transfer." Then the moment he transferred, Sakyamuni was able to make King Bimbisara see. And he saw the departed relative. Immediately he transferred Maria, form this what they call peta, they become beautiful devas. Immediate spontaneous birth, zoom, 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 one by one. They got so much joy. So this one talk about the story of this departed relative that are trapped in the peta rhyme. Now, introduction. We don't have much time, half an hour, I think, enough as an introduction. So I read to you, Therukuda Sutta. Those who reborn as unfortunate beings or spirit because of their selfish craving, means greed, for their property in a past life, return to their homes and create an eerie atmosphere while lingering beyond the doors. So you want to buy property, or you go back to your hometown, or you go to somewhere, you can feel this eerie type of feeling. Your good friends are hot. Yeah, their energy are very chilly. Understand? You can feel them one, very chill one. Then they got anger. You can feel them one. So this one, the Buddha actually spoke this sutta. And if you can understand, then you know what to do. That's why this one teach the cultivator or Buddhist how to attend to departed relatives. That's why I say if you are Buddhist, has a lot of good Dhamma friends, you don't worry. Even you go to the Pitarang, you will have a lot of Dhamma friends who idang menya tinangawato. Wow, you rejoice, you come out already very fast. You won't be trapped there for long. It's only for those who don't have Dhamma friends. Because they don't do that. So the Buddha said, those who are reborn as unfortunate spirit means because of their selfish craving for their property, their wealth, and their materialistic possession in a past life, they will return to their homes and create an eerie atmosphere while lingering beyond the doors. They yearn for human food. But because of their past karma, their living relative neglect to make offering to them. Understand? Yeah, there is just no condition. Yeah, your karma is like that. You want, you crave, but you cannot get. Because last time when you around, you are so selfish. You never give. No generosity, nothing. Understand? And you never help your departed relative. So there is no merits. You reap what you sow. So whatever you do out of your selfishness, out of your what they call stinginess, or they call kiamsiap is what? Stinginess. So because of that, he said, they yearn for human food, but because of their past karma, their living relative neglect to make offering to them. So you don't have the condition. So when you make offering, that's why our traditional practice actually come from this tradition. Because this non-human, they come back. So the Taoists, they can see them. The Taoist monk last time. So they can see them and they know. So that's why they advise you to make offering to them. That's why we used to have slaughtered chicken, everything offered to them. Then they very happy or not. Because they were like, they smell, they see the thing like, oh, foolish. Yeah, they know they cannot eat. But there's so much joy, my relative offering all this food. Then they will go and compare. Your relative, related one didn't offer. Then, Chigwe Pua, you know, the July month, they call All Ghost Festival Day. Hungry Ghost Festival there. That day also you don't go and make offering. They say they will come and disturb you. That is for those who don't have the Dhamma and understanding. Because you make that once a year offering, no use. If you idang menya tinang ho tu, that one more effective. Every day you can do. Every time you cultivate, you can. So that's why they will rejoice like anything. But you once a year also don't give. Then some of them through delusion, where they don't understand. They see other people get, why my loved one and relative don't know how to do. Oh, after I die, they forget about me. Oh, inheritance they take. Oh, then they can see, you know, wow, they do all this funny thing with my inheritance. Now they forgot to even make offering to me. So they can actually come back and disturb you. So because of this, this sutta mentioned very clearly. Then he said, the Buddha said, those who are compassionate, therefore, should remember their departed relatives and make offerings, such as almsgiving, Indianin. That's why you make donation in their name, on their behalf. By the wholehearted transfer of merits, the spirits will gratefully wish for the well-being of their living relatives who perform such meritorious deeds. That's why after you help to do all this on behalf, in their name, then you transfer and share these merits. They will be very grateful, understand? But they will receive one. Somehow they will know one. And the Nietzsche's law very fast, no? Sometimes if your cultivation is very good, your primary is very good, the moment you do on their behalf, especially related one, parents, brothers, sisters, or even in-laws and all those things, or very good friend, because of relationship. That's why law of karma recognizes relationship, you understand? No? So this nature's law recognizes relationship. Then it will manifest. Then when it manifests, it will become very beautiful. But towards the end, the higher merit is not just to do this. It's to make offering to the Sangha. And then use your own cultivation. Share and transfer all those merits to them. That one is very lasting. Very much more tangible. Then he also explained, the Buddha also explained, why you must do this. Because in their world, it's not same as ours. No. He said in their world, there is no like plowing or catering. Understand not? Means you cannot go to the paddy field there and plow and rail cattle or sheep or go and do business, have career or something. But in their world, they got nothing on. They cannot earn merits on it. Means they got no job, nothing. they cannot do anything to get merits on. They have to depend on related ones to transfer, share, and do on behalf of them. That's why in that rhyme, they are very miserable. That's why it's called Peta rhyme. Rhyme of the hungry ghost. Very hungry and yet no food. Nothing to eat. Cannot go and work also. Cannot have merits. It is very, very miserable. That's why the Buddha said, they should remember the spirit of their departed relatives who are not at peace with themselves and gather in many places. Because down there actually is real suffering. Real suffering. Their mouth is so small. No? Sometimes got anything also they cannot eat. No? And anything that goes near is become red hot. So they actually suffer a lot. So because of that is it, they should remember the spirit of their departed relatives who are not at peace with themselves and gather in many places. Then after that, the Buddha said, in return, such spirit, thus remembered and satisfied, will eagerly wish for the well-being of their living relative out of gratitude. That's why they will try to help you, protect you in whatever way, because they have a lot of gratitude towards you. Even by remembering them, understand? That's why sometimes it's good to thank them, understand? Like your parents who have done so many of these things for you. Whatever inheritance that you receive, you appreciate, and you say, thank you so much. So when you were young, how they care for you, how they sacrifice for you, you recall to mind, and you wish them well-being and happiness in whatever realm of existence they may be. Then you share merits, you transfer merits. they can hear you, they can see you, if they are still around there, within that line. Then after that, the Buddha mentioned what I mentioned just now. He said, for there is never plowing here, nor any cattle herding found, nor merchandising just the same. Understand not? Means cannot do business or this thing. Nor bartering for coins of gold. The spirit of the departed kin live there on the merits transferred to them. Nothing else. Understand not? 要做工都没机会, no job, no work, no agriculture, nothing. So you depend on merit transfer to you. So very miserable on that, right? Then the Buddha say, as water showered on the hill, flow down to reach the hollow well, so the merit transfer can serve the spirit of the departed king. It's just like the water, when you shower over the hill, flow down and reach the hollow veil down there. Means whatever merits you transfer can serve the spirit of the departed king. Exactly like how you pour the water, it will reach them. Because their life are so miserable down there. So whatever you share and transfer, it will definitely reach them. But it has to be related. That's why you're refunding on. Related relative. Then the other example is also same. As river bed, when full, can bear the water down to fill the sea, so the merit transfer can serve the spirit of the departed kin. So it's the same. So whatever merit you transfer to them, they will receive them. Then he say, he gave to me, he worked for me, he was my kin, friend, intimate. Give gifts. Then for departed ones, recalling what they used to do, like just now I explained to you, your gratitude towards them. You should thank them for all the things that they have done for you, how they sacrifice for you, how they care for you, how they provide for you, and all those things. So the Buddha said, he gave to me, he worked for me, means when you recall to mind. Give to me means could be parents' inheritance. He worked for me means could be your servant or somebody. Then he was my kin, means next of kin. Then friend, intimate. Give. Then for departed ones, recalling what they used to do. So this will make them very happy. Then here he say, no weeping, nor yet sorrowing, nor any kind of mourning help departed ones, whose gift remain. Acting thus unhelpful to them. Understand not? So after they pass away, you go and cry, go and lament, go and you think this is filial piety. The Buddha say no use one. That's why he said, no weeping, nor yet sorrowing, nor any kind of mourning. You go and mow for 7 days, 7 nights, also no use, is it? Will help this departed relative, whose kin remain. Acting thus, unhelpful to them. It doesn't bring about any help to them, understand? You can go and put 7 days with all the spending, lavish type of what, food or anything. No use, is it? No, because karmically they cannot receive anything. But he said, when this offering is given to those members of the holy order, means the order of the enlightened beings, the Sangha, then it can serve them long in future and as well. Oh, and at once as well, means immediately you can see the result. That's why King Bimbisara saw how they transform, become devas. From Peta become devas. Then there were some Jataka story also. There were some of these Petas. I think there was one, I think, without clothing or don't know what, I forgot already. Rowan Suvano used to say this story. And stranded in the island, I don't know what. Then immediately they transfer merits. Straight away, so beautiful, you know, the dress, everything. Then like Devarani, with the mansion, everything. Heavenly mansion. So this transfer of merits, they can be very effective. That's why here the Buddha say, in future and at once as well. Then the last part is this one, very good. He said, by offering alms to the holy order in memory of the departed ones. Means in memory of the departed ones. That's why you, when you all make offering. He said, the true path of action for relative has thus been shown. This is the true path. And how high honored to departed one is done. And how the holy order can be given sustenance as well. Means it is a two-way thing. You help to provide for the sustenance of the Sangha and the Sangha. And in return, because they are worthy of offering the merits, they are very, very great. And how great merits can be stored away for them. So all this is the Buddha's teaching of showing the cultivator and the living being how you can really benefit the departed relatives and all those who have actually passed away. You don't go and like moan, lament, cry, thinking that by doing so you are very filapaiti. Filapaiti is when they are still alive. You care for them, you provide for them, and you show your appreciation and gratitude. Then you must have understanding. Otherwise, after they die already, most of this departed relative, they realize after they pass away, only their children starts to like cry for them. Then they blame themselves. If I know he's going to die so early, I would have not done this. I would not scold him. All this is if no more reality. Then the more they hear, the more angry they become. Scold already, someone go and say all this thing. So when you have this Dhamma, you will not do all this foolish thing. It's just like what Sakyamuni every time say. Whatever that is of the nature to be born is of the nature to die. So what has arisen has already gone. So no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So no point. You cry, lament, also no use. Yeah, everything is just like that. Cause and effect, condition arising. Whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to pass. So whatever that is born will also pass, come to be. So when you understand this reality, then you will not attach, you will not cling. Then you will have this wisdom to allow you to accept the reality of what happened. Death is just separation of form and mind, understand that? Consciousness from the physical. No one dies, actually, nothing dies. The form and mind is just a chemically conditioned form and mind, a vehicle and a tool for you to use when you arise. Your segmented life, form and mind. So do not be deluded by it. Do not be what they call deceived by it, because it can animate until like so real, no? Until you say, how can you say this is not me? I want to cry, I cry, I want to laugh, I laugh. I want to sing song also can, I want to commit suicide also can, why you say not me? And everything is so real. You can feel, you can touch, you can experience all of the sight and sound, and all your senses, especially if they are functioning, they are so beautiful. That's why you don't know how to make full use of your form and mind to live life, to develop the cultivation and the understanding of life, means you wasted. Instead, you go and attach, cling, worry about it. Means you don't know how to make use of it. You go and worry about it, then get yourself entangled all over, miserable all over. So this is what the Dhamma actually can bring forth, the understanding to liberate your mind, to actually makes a big difference to your understanding of life, so that you really, really know how to live, so that you know clearly who are you, what are you, and what is this form and mind all about, then how you can make use of it, to live, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then this form and mind become a useful vehicle and a tool for you to actually make use of, so that it can be a blessing to all. But living being without the Dhamma cannot understand this part. That's why they become deluded. Then they become very aggressive, very selfish. Then they develop the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. Then they use their thought wrongly. They project and become miserable. Then they just, what they call, heedlessly go about living their heedless life. Actually, that is really very, very pitiful, miserable. Sometimes you really have a lot of compassion for all these deluded beings, because they don't know what is going on. And they're still struggling to live life. And then they trap in suffering without knowing that it's suffering. That is the worst. And they are so heedless. They continue to do all those things that are so negative, that can bring about downfall, misery, negative karma. But because they don't understand this Dhamma, they don't see the danger of heedlessness, they cannot understand. They will continue to behave that way. And they're still scolding people, blaming people, arguing with people. They still think that they are very, very great. Okay, any other question? Oh, we finish, Terakuda Sutta. Yes, okay.
I can understand some people, a lot of people, when they go to certain places, temples, to see the energy.
But
I don't have this kind of
feeling.
At most, I feel that it's like, okay, I feel present in this place, but I don't have those kind of
Okay, you bring about a very good condition for me to explain. If you listen to some of my earlier talk, you will come to understand. Because I already mentioned it many times. You see, cultivation of Buddha Dhamma is like that. Not until you can open up your heart, you cannot feel on this. What you can feel is your head, your thought. Because through your perception, through what you see and what you hear, that's why you go to a dark place, you got fear. Then you hear of something that is eerie and like you cannot understand, you got fear. Because you use your senses. That's why you use your head, your thought, you cannot feel. In order to feel, you must have a sensitive mind, a heart. And this mind can only be sensitive when you develop the spiritual faculties. That's why you have to pay respect. Last time I used to tell you, when you pay respect, when you compose your mind with that faith, what happens? You fold your palm like that. And when you do that with the faith, you don't believe me, you go and find out yourself. There's an energy, because from this 5-point palm, there's an energy that is sent backward into your heart. Into your heart. So every time you pay respect with the faith, this energy will go in. And if your mind is silent with the sadha and virya, this heart will slowly, slowly open up without you knowing it. Then it will have the sensitivity. Then you will know how people feel. Then sometimes when you go somewhere, you can feel. Then you see certain monks or teachers, they come and give talk about if they have their nature. You can straight away detect one. You can straight away feel one. Like you come to the Tuesday class, the Thursday class, you will know one. Some of you maybe may not know, but you come to understand it's easier to meditate when you are here. That's like your mind is more calm, more peaceful. But actually, these are energy that you can detect when your heart has already opened up. So this one, you must do more bowing. You must develop your faith. You must have daily mindfulness. Then all this will arise, will surface. So to be sensitive, the first thing that you need to do and develop is the spiritual faculty to open up your heart area. Your heart area must open up. Otherwise, it cannot have the sensitivity. Then you go anywhere also no use. People say, oh, I can feel the energy, I can feel what. But you cannot. You only use your memory, your thought, and your senses. So you use your brain. Normal human beings is like that. But the cultivator, they use their nature. Their nature. That's why you have to connect inside. So if your heart is not open out, it's very difficult to connect. Very difficult. So cultivation is about homage, paying respect, reverential salutation. That's why when you fold your palm this way, then when you determine, even you chant Namo Tassa Bhagavato, or last time when I meditate, I used to put my palm together. Then there was some teacher said, no, you cannot meditate. I say, why? I meditate like that, I feel very good, the energy go in. He said, no, you're not supposed to do that. Your palm is supposed to be on your lap and do that funny mudra. I said, never mind, you do yours, I do. Because since young, I already know this is a very good posture. Where this will send the energy back to the heart. And I realized it opened up here very fast. So during the early years, when I cultivate, I remember, I pay respect a lot. Pay respect a lot. That's like Xian Hua when I took refuge, the 10,000 bow. Very good. Then after that, this one opened up. When it opened up, you become so sensitive. You become so sensitive. Then you can be aware. Initially, of course, I return my awareness here, so the energy build up. Then I need to relax. That's why the first support is relax. Relax, then don't focus, no. Don't concentrate, no. Don't go and do like those qigong, the tan tian one, go and send their energy down there. If you send your energy down here, so you do the same like that, then this one will like energize. So, then like no outlet, no. Then you feel that like very, very difficult, the energy like choke inside there. That's why they have a lot of energy problem is because of that. Those who do concentration, absorption, samatha. So when you understand meditation is about awareness, not focusing, you know, when they note, they focus, means what? They send in the mental energy, they use the thought to note. So thought is energy. So when you send in your thought, external thought, because this one, before you are enlightened, they got delusion. That's why you got yin-yang. You are not in equanimity. Your energy is yin-yang, not balanced. So you send this energy that has yin and yang into your tan tian or whatever. If you want to use it for qi, it's okay. For health purpose, it's okay. Because that is energy. But if you want to cultivate wisdom, you cannot. Because this is tempering the chakra. It's not opening, it's tempering. It's like before you have the wisdom and the understanding, you go and temper it. Actually, the real opening is from inside. When this gateway is detected, when you can silence your mind and connect and detect this gateway, then all of your energy, the yin and yang, whatever that you cultivate through whatever, whether food or prana or mindfulness or whatever, it will melt inside anasana and become pure energy. And this pure energy will go in and open up. And that is the real opening. Whereas the one tempering from outside one, you are actually sending your thought energy there. So this is mental noting. Mental noting is not mindfulness, you know. It's mental noting. It means mental energy is sent there. So, and this mental energy, yeah, will actually create movement. Understand? That's why your mind cannot be silent. Then this energy, this movement, got no outlet. No outlet, so what they do? They push it out to the head. Understand? That's why they develop jhana, concentration. Then they go and do all those psychic things. Understand? That is the only way they can do with energy field. Understand? That's why the Tai Chi and the Qi Gong people also, they use it for help. They send the Qi go around everywhere. So, then sometimes they use the Qi to create external forces and all things. And sometimes they use it to convert to heat energy. So, they can cause fire. They can heat things up. So what? You still need to die. So, no. End of the day is just understanding that free you, wisdom that liberate your mind, not the psychic, not the meditative state, nothing. So when you have that understanding, your cultivation become different. So what you should do is you should just relax, silent, let things be, allow it to be. Then the mind just rest there. Then it will detect the gateway finally. It will detect. Then when your daily mindfulness stabilizes, then when this one open up, you detect, then all this energy will flow inside. And especially now, because my nature is very different already. 25 years is very different from the time, that time when I just developed the understanding. We are over the 25 years. This whole thing has actually developed until very different. I was very lucky because I met my last teacher. He was the one that showed it to me where the gateway is. The moment he tell me what that thing is, I know how to meditate. He never teach me how to meditate. And how to go in also, he never teach me. I went in myself. Then I understood the whole thing through my own cultivation. That I knew what the thing is. Then how the cessation come, everything. How the mundane mind collapse, everything. Until today, nobody can actually explain all this. There is no book. I find until today, there is no book that write about it. Yeah, this one, according to him also, very rare. Cultivator don't go to that gateway one. By the time meditator, the real one, detect, he said they at least 80 years old already. At least, he said. 80 years old, how long can you go? Maybe another 10 or 20 years if you live until 100. But I was very lucky. Because of my vow, I got one very funny vow. Then, that's why I'm not supposed to meet him on. I don't need to see anybody already after that. But somehow he manifests. And he came to me. 7 times. Oh. Normally twice, the condition arises twice. I will know already, I will go already. But this one, I refused to meet him for 5-6 times. Until finally, very funny, he came all the way. Instead of going all over to look for him, he came and looked for me. And when I met him, everything fell into place. My nature knew and understood what he said. I think he also doesn't know why he come to me. But he know he has to come. because he was sent. Then when he actually came to me, when I met him for the first time in Genting, we talked for 3 hours. I drove all the way up there with my wife to meet him. Then very funny. After I met him, he held my hand, I remember. He said, "Tio, I don't know what they have told you," he said, "Miss, my Singapore friend," he said. "Forget about all those things that they tell you," he said. It's like he also knew. Because what they tell me is psychic and all those things. That's why I refuse to see him. Then he said, "I just want you to understand, I only teach 3 things, he said. Oh, sorry, 4 things. This one. He told me this. He said, first, relax. Aware. 24 hours. Whoa. I said, all these 3 I done already. I finished already. Then the last one he mentioned, trust. That one I don't understand. I didn't do. Then after that, he asked me the next question. Do you trust me? I said, yes. I trust you. Okay. Then after that, I say, you haven't taken your dinner. He actually waited for us. No, he didn't take dinner until 8:30 at night. He called me at 5:30. So I met him at 8:30. Then I said, okay, we go dinner first. So I took them for dinner. The wife and another friend took them for dinner. So after that dinner, we talked. Then we came back. Then after we came back to the apartment, the first thing he asked me is, he said, you trust me? I said, yes, I trust you. Okay, now sit down. I said, just sit down. He said, relax. I already know how to relax. Relax and wait 24 hours, I already have that. Then he said, silent. I said, yeah, already silent. Then he put his hand about 2 inches away from my heart, on the left hand side. Oh, sorry, before that he asked me one question. The first moment I saw him, he held my hand, remember? He tell me, forget about what they have told me. He said, I just want you to know, he teach this 4 things, he said. Then I say, I already done the first 3, you remember? He said, very good. The next question he asked me is, well, no, where do you return your awareness? I point to the center of the heart. He straight away tell me, oh no, wrong. It's very funny, you know. He said wrong. Like I know, he understand. You know. Yeah. I say, I also know, I think it's wrong. You know what he told me or not? He said, slightly towards the left, is it? Slightly towards the left. I said, okay, slightly towards the left. So after the dinner come down, he asked me to sit down, silent, relax. Then after that, he put his hand there. The moment he put his hand, I straight away can detect that point that he mentioned. Straight away, I knew what it was. Then I just, because I already know how to relax, aware and 24 hour and silent, that all of my energy starts to flow over. Flow over. My meditative energy, not absorption and concentration, all of my mindfulness energy starts to flow over. Then melt inside there. Then my whole body and mind still like anything. Still, completely still. Then I straight away understood what trust is. Trust is allow the nature to do. No interference from the thought. Straight away, the whole thing went in. Then after that, my whole body and mind was so different. Like I told you all later on, we didn't know how many days I did. My whole body was like a perfect human being. Like a car, tune until no sound. Perfect. And all my whatever health issue or what, I don't have much actually, but I can know that I like a perfect human being. No? I was never so healthy and so perfect. No? All of my vibration, everything becomes so still, like no vibration. you know, engine, dim until no sound, you can, you don't know that the engine is running on. So smooth, and everything was like so perfect. I was so amazed for so many days after that. Then this thing keep on happening. Then later on it stabilized. That's why a lot of things you ask me how, I also cannot tell you how. Your good karma, take care of karma. When you take care of karma, karma take care of you. Then develop the wisdom and make aspiration. Adithan, very important. Oh, you better end. 10:30, exceeded. Oh, exceeded. 4 minutes, 3 minutes. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we will end. Okay, sharing of merit, Siddha Devas. Aka sata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will do the invocation of blessings for our nation. Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season and may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you will make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.